Richard, Sunday morning, WGN, scooching into our 12 noon hour. Past several weeks, we've been talking Chicago history and neighborhoods and Chicago trivia, always a lot of fun, and digging into the history of some of the neighborhoods that we traverse every single day here. And I thought today we would talk a little about the Lakeview neighborhood, what with there being just a little bit of action going on at Addison and Clark tonight at the friendly confines. Matt Nickerson is the owner of Private Historian and is considered Lakeview's history authority. And Matt, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you on WGN today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So how did you even get involved in this? I know you had a very long history in journalism in Chicago. I believe you were at the Chicago Tribune, if I'm remembering correctly.
I was back in the old days. You know, there have been so many waves of people in Lakeview, most notably the Germans, the Swedes, then you had Japanese Americans. I was the yuppie wave. So I moved there in 1990 because I got priced out of Lincoln Park. So I was one of those annoying young professionals reliving their college years all over again, you know, at Grayson Clark.
Yeah, and now Lakeview is like that, and somebody's moving. Yeah. Somebody is priced out of Lakeview, and you know, moving into some other neighborhood in Chicago. Talk to me about the original inhabitants of the area that we now know as Lakeview. How was the neighborhood founded?
Well, you know, Conrad Sulzer, if you can think of the Sulzer Library, was the founder, the godfather of Lakeview in 1837, you know, and a good German run for more than like 140 years. You know, I mean, really, you know, so many neighborhoods change ethnicities like a coat, you know, but they were pretty much German from the 1830s really to the 1970s. So that's kind of where it all started.
And then when did it begin to diversify, and with whom?
Well, you know, I always like to point out, you know, people say it was German and there was some Deutschenek and everything. It's actually like Germans from different countries like Switzerland, German speakers from Luxembourg, even some German speakers from Russia. So it was a diversity of Germans, you might say. But there was a Swedish enclave, of course, around where Ann Sather is today. I mean, Ann Sather, as I'm told you're supposed to pronounce it, is like the last holdout at Belmont and Sheffield. It used to be four Swedish churches within a stone's throw there. Then came the Japanese Americans, who were made unwelcome in California and then forged their own identity here in Lakeview in the 60s and 70s. You know, and then it got really interesting. So you still had the old Germans and Swedes, you had the Japanese Americans coming from the West Coast, you had Indians moving down from Canada, you had Southerners moving up from the South, you had Puerto Ricans coming from Puerto Rico. Then you had, you know, this crazy mix of, you know, hillbillies, gays, drag queens, rednecks, every ethnicity you could think of, and a bunch of hippies and druggies. And that was like Lakeview in the 70s.
Well, I think that was my introduction. Yeah. I'm not sure which of those categories, you know, I think I may belong to several of those groups, but
yeah, don't we all?
But that's how, you know, that's when I sort of discovered this neighborhood that was not anything like what it, you know, the upscale neighborhood that it's considered to be today. I mean, it was accessible to all of those people because really just sort of anything went back in those days.
That's exactly right. It was an all let it all hang out neighborhood, as people would have said in the 70s. And, you know, I mean, it's the familiar progression. Guess what happened? Well, the property values went up. It got too expensive. And I got priced out of Lakeview myself. I'm finally back there now after doing some work to earn some more money. But, you know, now it's an upscale neighborhood, just like Lincoln Park used to be a fun, funky neighborhood with cool record shops like Wax Tracks. And nobody would be caught dead there if they were a hipster these days, and I don't think any hipsters would be caught dead in Lakeview anymore.
If you were going to take a stroll of the Lakeview neighborhood, what do you think are some of the must-see historic landmarks?
You know, I'm going to say start with the obvious, which is most people rush into Wrigley Field and, you know, you got your ticket, you want to see the game. But I would pause outside. You know, until not long ago, the exterior was pretty ugly. I mean, it was a 60s parking garage exterior on some of those walls, and now the Ricketts have restored it to its 1920s glory. I mean, the neighborhood is really modernized, but the ballpark has gone backwards in time. You have this gorgeous ornamental grill work, you have the terracotta. I mean, I would just pause and look how historic the ballpark itself is. And then I would say, you know, if you're hungry and you want to go look for the remnants of the old days, there's the cinnamon rolls at Ann Sather at Belmont and Sheffield. And then if you're feeling a little Germanic and you have Teutonic roots, like many people in Chicago do, there's the holdout on Lincoln Avenue, which is good old Dinkles Bakery, which is 98 years old.
Yeah, we had one of the Dinkles on the show not too long ago talking about the history of it all, because it's just, you know, one of these great Chicago businesses that has somehow managed to survive all of these years, you know, through so many different populations in the neighborhoods.
A consultant told Norm Dinkle to move to Arlington Heights. And in fact, there was a legendary German deli, Kuhn's Deli, which did move to the suburbs. Murr's Apothecary moved out. A lot of people moved out, and Dinkle's kind of hung in there, and now they're reaping the benefits, because what was really, with all due respect to Norm Dinkle, a commonplace German bakery 50 years ago, dime a dozen, now it's special. It's like, wow, look at this nostalgia.
Yeah, it's it really is you know, considered like a fine upscale eatery. Now, compared to, you know, some of the fast food places that are, you know, dominating the area. What are some of the most historic sites, though? I mean, I love when I, you know, I don't love getting stopped, you know, at a stoplight, but I do love that I can pause for a moment and look up at some of these wonderful architectural creations that you never see being built into the neighborhoods anymore.
Well, you don't have the old German craftsmen to build them, so it's impossible. Good old St. Alphonsus Church at Wellington, Southport, and Lincoln, you know, with a huge soaring spire. I actually burned almost to the ground in 1950. People could see the smoke from the loop. But it hung on. It's got the last German language Catholic mass in Chicago, believe it or not. It's got a beautiful blue ceiling, weathered copper bell tower. That's a gorgeous, gorgeous church.
I have to think that the Athenaeum and the Music Box Theater, you know, some of the entertainment haunts that I go to all of the time are also among these wonderful historical must-see places in Lakeview.
Well, absolutely. Music Box Theater is, you know, the great throwback. Again, kind of like Dinkles, I'm not sure it was such a big deal 100 years ago when there were a lot of music palaces. I mean, the Music Box only has 700 seats. The Chicago Theater had 3,200 seats. So Music Box was kind of just a small, regular old theater. But now everybody else is gone. They're the last band standing. So it's fantastic. You got the little stars twinkling, the gorgeous interiors. It's a walk back in time.
And ditto with the Athenaeum, which I think is even older. If I remember, I've hosted a couple of shows at the Athenaeum, and I just love walking around backstage and kind of just sneaking around some of the cubby holes backstage where, you know, you're in a blink of an eye, you're back in 1920.
That's right. Well, it's 109 years old. So you hit it. It was opened in 1911. That's really when you know, the Catholic Church was so important, in part in terms of family life. I mean, St. Alphonsus built the Athenaeum, you know, for German folk productions, you know, and then they had an athletic center. They had their school, which still exists. You know, it was sort of an all-encompassing community institution in itself. You know, they had in 2 years in the beginning, they had, I think, 1,600 baptisms in 2 years, if you can imagine how many children were being born in those German neighborhoods. Pretty a different world.
I also love when I'm driving by Shuba's, which is, I guess, is it Belmont? Yeah, Belmont and Southport.
That's right.
And you look up at this building, and it's one of the most unusual buildings architecturally, with its Schlitz logos built into the brick of the theater.
It's gorgeous, you know, just like Starbucks sells its coffee at Starbucks branded coffee houses. You know, so Schlitz, the other beer companies, had what is now prohibited, but they had their own bars, Schlitz branded bars. And of course, there's one right at Belmont and Southport, the famous Shuva's. There's actually another one you can see, 1900 West Belmont, with another gorgeous Schlitz sign. Actually, is a Starbucks now. You know, then there's even Southport Lanes, the classic old bowling alley that's right. Got a Schlitz sign on it. And again, it's kind of funny because I'm not sure 100 years ago that was particularly remarkable to see a Schlitz sign, but now that some of you've torn down, we're looking at it as something special.
Yeah, I always tell people when you're, you know, walking the neighborhoods, or, you know, if you're even driving, look up at like the detail on these buildings. It's unlike anything that you see anywhere. It's fantastic. I know that you've written a couple of these Arcadia books about Lakeview and East Lakeview. Do you do tours also, Matt?
Hey, give me a call. Check out my website. I'll give anybody a tour. I'd love to talk about the neighborhood. If you Google Matthew Nickerson Lakeview, you'll pull me up, my private historian website. I'd be happy to do a tour or show anybody around.
What is private historian? Explain what that is to us.
Well, you know, after my Lakeview books, I wrote two. You can only write so many neighborhood books. And I got into writing a family history. So families commissioned me to write a history about them and be kind of like, you know, history of the Kennedys and Barnes & Noble, but it's just about the Richards family, and it's just for you.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And are there exhibits that people can see of photos, things like that, and learn more about Lakeview?
There are. The Lakeview Chamber of Commerce put up little kiosks around the neighborhood with little photos and texts from my Lakeview books. And so, for example, like, you know, outside St. Alphonsus Church, there's a kiosk with a picture of the old St. Alphonsus Church, so you can kind of look at the old church and compare it to the new church and learn a little bit about it. So, you know, if you're heading to the ball game, you know, when it's a little sunnier, you can walk around and soak up a little history before you soak up your beer at the ballpark.
Yeah, I think stuff like this is so interesting. Is there this kind of interest in the cities around the country? Are we peculiar in Chicago that way? I think we love our neighborhoods, the history of our neighborhoods. I don't know if other cities are into it as much as we are.
Well, it is the city of neighborhoods. You know, we don't have a colonial history. We weren't part of the American Revolution, you know, so we can't, you know, be like Boston and talk about the Liberty, the Old North Church or Paul Revere, and we're not like Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell. So what do we got? You know, well, we got our old neighborhoods. I think that's our history.
Yeah, I am thinking of starting a museum of convicted politicians
yeah.
That I think could be very, very interesting. And, you know, schools could bring tours of kids to learn about that history that we have here in Illinois.
Well, you know, Blagojevich needs money. Maybe he could be a docent.
Oh, that would be. Who wouldn't want to take a tour with him and listen to him talk for a couple of hours? How can people get more information about what you're doing? What's the best way to do that?
You know, I would go to privatehistorian.net, privatehistorian.net, and that's who I am.
Sounds great. Matt Nickerson, nice talking to you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.